He's a world-class juggler and a superstar in the trick shot world. Or you might say he's a shooting star. That's stupid. This is Josh Horton.
Welcome to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast.
I'm Chris Ruggiero. Welcome to the show. This is the podcast that talks with entertainers, travelers, inspiring people in general, with the hopes to show you some behind-the-scenes action and inspire and motivate you to not only keep listening to podcasts about other entertainers and other people out doing cool things, but to go out and do something cool for yourself. Make your dreams come true. And then maybe you can be on my podcast too, talking about it and inspiring other people. So thank you for listening. This episode is with my friend Josh Horton, who is a juggler who is probably the best juggler that I know in the world. He performs at sporting events, basketball halftime shows, baseball games, and you've probably seen one of his videos being shared on your Facebook wall because he does crazy trick shot videos that are insane and amazing. He was also just seen on an episode of Ellen, which you might have seen because another person that you know was on the same episode. That was me. I was on Ellen. And Josh was on the same episode. He was right there with me. So he talks about some of the stuff that he's up to and how he got to where he is and how he collaborates with other people and how important that is rather than competing with other people in this world. We get a lot more out of our life when we collaborate instead of compete with other people. So I think overall that was the main take home of this episode. And thank you to BetweenDreamsClothing.com for helping keep this afloat. So Between Dreams Clothing is all about the same thing as this podcast, making things happen in your life. Dreams are great, but what happens between dreams is life, and that's the most important. So it's important to not only have big dreams, but also very important to have a big life. That's what Between Dreams is. That's my clothing company that I use that to help support the other things in my life that I do, like make a podcast that no one pays me to do. So in order to put time and money and effort into this, that comes from there. So go over to BetweenDreamsClothing.com and buy a shirt. You can use discount code podcast, and that'll give you a discount on your order, and that will help us to bring more episodes like this to your phone or your computer, wherever you're listening. You can listen all the time at chrisruggiero.com/podcast. You can listen on the podcast app on your iPhone. You can listen on iTunes on your computer, or you can listen on Stitcher if you have a phone that's not an iPhone. Here we go. This is Josh Horton. So cool. Let's start. And why don't you give just a quick little intro for yourself and say kind of what, how you would describe the things that you do.
My name is Josh Horton. I'm a professional juggler, and I specialize right now in the sporting industry. So I do a lot of NBA and college halftime shows for basketball, and I'm also getting into baseball. And I'm also working on my social media career and trying to have my social media be a second source of income.
Cool. And I think the one of the coolest things about what you do is the collaborations with other people. So you're like doing these sweet juggling tricks and trick shots and almost always incorporating sporting things, and you collaborate with other trick shot and other sporting events people. So who have been a few of the people that you've collaborated with that are standout things that
So most recently a video launched on Friday, and that was with The Legendary Shots, and they're one of the biggest trick shot YouTube accounts. I think they have like almost 200,000 subscribers and like 250,000 or more on Instagram, and so they're really awesome. And so they like flew me out for the video, and it's like honestly the coolest video I've ever been a part of. So that was really fun. I've met up with a guy named Corey Rich, who goes by Corey the Dribbler, and he used to be a Harlem Globetrotter, and now he's a professional performer. He mainly does like school shows, as well as training people in basketball skills. And so we've had a few videos go viral. One was he can dribble five basketballs at once, and I can juggle five basketballs at once, and we're just next to each other. And that ended up getting like 300,000 views on Facebook or something. So that was cool.
You said that you're working on social media and kind of piggybacking on this like collaboration thing, working on social media as a secondary source of income. Now, I think that's something that as entertainers, everyone is trying to figure out how to do and probably doesn't understand even where to start. So that comes from, for people that are listening that might not know how to make money on social media, once you have a big following, you can utilize your following to get sponsors and get sponsored posts, so people will pay you to post and push or mention or use your product.
Correct.
And that's what a lot of people are doing on YouTube, Instagram, Vine, every social media. Have you've developed in the past, when did you start? I know your Instagram account, I just looked at it, and you have 14,000, over 14,000 followers now, right?
Yeah.
When did you start work? That's a pretty impressive number.
Yeah. I guess we can talk about this too. Like, I had a full-time job for 3.5 years after college, and I just quit in July. And so that number, that Instagram number has doubled since then, which is pretty cool because I have been focusing on it a little bit more. And I was, you know, posting quite a bit before then, but I really, you know, didn't have the time or the energy and I was working in social media. So I was always signed into some brand's account and would hate to have to sign out. And so, but once I went full-time juggler, it's been a focus because I learned a lot from my job about how to, both grow social media channels, like what people like on each platform. And also I learned like, you know, kind of how much money some of these, we call them influencers or creators, are making. And obviously, I'm having a lot of fun doing everything that I do. So it's not just about the money, but if I could get to that level, that would be a awesome way to help make a living. You know, I want to keep performing, but, you know, if I could sometimes just make a video instead of having to travel somewhere, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I think that's the dream of so many people, to be able to, at first when you start performing, you're like, oh, awesome, I get to travel and other people pay for it, and I get to go to this town and then this town, and then like 5 or 10 years or some amount of years in, you're like, I just want to like stay home and post a video.
Exactly.
And the travel thing starts to switch from being an adventure to work. And I don't want to sound like a snob.
No, not at all. I'm with you. And to clarify, I'm still like 100,000 followers short until this is like going to start making any serious money. And I acknowledge that. But if I can keep growing kind of at the rate I am, I think there's some potential. Even when I first quit my job, I was like, I'm really going to focus on performing and not worry too much about the social media thing. But even in the last couple of months, I've seen more potential for that than I thought was possible. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's awesome. I want to kind of keep on this thing of collaborating, because I've been talking to a few other people, entertainers and stuff, and I think the world, even more so now maybe than ever, is this world of collaboration instead of competition, where, you know, you can link up with another YouTube account, people or Instagram, whatever, and you can do almost the same type of thing, and they'll be happy to work with you because you can basically share followers and share fans.
Yeah. The thing right now is I'm like, some of the people I'm meeting up with, like Legendary Shots, like they don't need my followers. Like I'm nothing compared to them, but I'm just able to provide a unique angle for them and just quality content. And so that's kind of what I'm at. I mean, obviously, like people like Corey the Dribbler, or I just did something with Caitlin Freestyle, who's like a fifth in the world for soccer freestyle for women. And, you know, we're all kind of in the same level. So when we post for each other, we each get, you know, a few followers. But right now I'm really hoping to link up with some of the much bigger accounts where they don't really care about getting in my followers. They just care about getting a unique angle and some quality content.
Yeah, that's cool. And it's interesting because the... I try to think of how to say this. Like, the pure juggling world has... Now, you're probably more into it, definitely more into the technical juggling world than I am, but there's never been, like, a juggler that kind of really had a huge, like, mainstream following or anything.
Right.
That's okay to say, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And of course I'm not putting down jugglers.
Sure.
Because I'm obviously in that world. But now as you kind of not transition, but spread into not only doing juggling, but into this like sports and trick shot world, it's like, it's not that it's mainstream, but there's a whole world of like massive followers. Like you said, like Legendary Shots has like a couple hundred thousand subscribers.
Right.
And do you have any thoughts on that? Like why haven't like a pure juggling ever done that, but like adding a trick shot element to it and it can still be a juggling video?
Sure. Well, here's the thing. So it's the same reason why until recently a musician has won America's Got Talent every year. And that is because the average person does not know the difference between good magic and bad magic, or good juggling or bad juggling, or they don't know how hard it is to learn, but they know, wow, they're a really good singer. I can't sing that well. I'm going to vote for them.
Yeah.
So juggling, people can maybe ooh and ah at juggling for a little bit, but then they have no idea what goes into it. But then they see me make a half court basketball shot without looking while juggling. They're like, wow, I can't even do that without juggling. Like, this must be good. And so people understand that that's difficult. I think that's part of it. And then it's just the fact that people like sports more than they like juggling. America loves sports. And so like, this is like, it's given people a reason to follow me when they normally wouldn't. I think that's been good. And there's just like amazingly enough, like with Dude Perfect and Brody Smith and all these huge people who are like idols for tons of these kids, like I would say almost 1,000 of my followers are trick shot accounts. Little kids with 100 followers who like throw frisbees at cones, and they're like trick shot superstar 212. And so I have a lot of those as well.
Cool. Yeah, that's cool that you have something there where it's opening up where you can connect with the younger people that can have direct access though to you. And, you know, I'm sure you communicate and interact with them as well to inspire them to keep going because they're the future.
Yeah. It's funny. Like I've gotten a couple of phone calls. It's like, hi, is this Juggling Josh? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, would you come do a trick shot video with us? I'm like, I don't know, man. Send me your info. And it's like kids in Portland, Oregon who want me to come out and do trick shots with them. But pretty funny.
That's cool, though. I always like when I get emails. I don't get a ton of them, but I'll get here and there, I'll get emails from like upcoming kids that are into it.
Yeah.
Or into something. And then they see like that, you know, they see my video or something online and they're like, hey, like, I just am trying to do this. And do you have, you know, any advice or whatever? And I think they always think that I can just like get them instantly like shows and stuff. And of course, that's not how it works, but it's nice to at least talk to them and
sure.
See how they're working on stuff and reaching out and communicating with people. Because I know when I first started, there was some people who weren't the nicest to me that I was just looking for genuine help. Hey, like I'm trying to do this. Do you have any advice? And they were kind of nasty. You know, it's like going back into that collaboration versus competition thing.
Sure.
It was like, you know, there's plenty of room for all of us because everyone has their own unique style. Like, I can not worry about your show in, like, affecting me because you have a completely different world of what you do, even though it's like from the outside would be juggling. It's like, you know, we're not really competing against each other. If anything, like us helping each other will help both of us.
Right. Yeah. And I try to respond. Like, I get a lot of Instagram messages from kids either about trick shots or juggling. And I try my best to like respond to every single comment and whatnot, because like at one point I was getting like, oh, this is getting a lot. But then I realized like, I'm sending emails to Brody Smith and Dude Perfect and not getting responses. And so like, I can't very well be not responding to these kids when I'm trying to do the exact same thing they are, just at a bigger scale. So, I had those people when I was younger, and I appreciate the hustle. You know, I was always the kid that was not afraid to message somebody. And I know that takes a lot of courage, especially when you're 12 years old or whatever. So,
yeah. How about the, you've done some, in addition to live performances and YouTube and social media videos, you've also broke into kind of the traditional media as far as doing like TV shows and commercials especially.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about your experience getting into commercials and how that's, you know, I know you've had a couple of them that probably have some at least interesting stories.
Yeah, I mean, I don't live in Los Angeles anymore, so as you can imagine, it slowed down a bit. But when I was in LA, I was probably going to 5 auditions a year or so, nothing crazy. And I booked a few, did a Jell-O commercial that aired during the Super Bowl. Most recently, I did a JCPenney commercial with Ivan Pacell. I got cut out of a commercial for Pepsi, and did one for like a cable company, and then also just like San Diego Gas and Electric. And so like, it's fun. Like they pay really well, especially if it's like, I'm now union with SAG. So residuals are lovely. And I would like to do more of them, but it's hard now that I'm not in LA because that's kind of where it all happens.
Yeah. What's like a coolest experience that you've had, or a travel thing, or someone that you've met because you've decided to be a professional entertainer that you might not have experienced if you were just, you know, not doing this?
Yeah, well, the whole Ellen experience is pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. That was probably... I haven't talked about that on the podcast yet.
Oh,
really.
Hey, we were on Ellen! We got famous, really famous.
Yeah, and then we went right back to where we started.
Right, exactly.
The next day.
Yeah, did you book a gig from this? Because I didn't.
I got some phone calls.
There you go.
Yeah, so that was cool. And I guess I haven't really talked about the Ellen thing, but if people listening want to see that, you can look at either my page or Josh's page and see our consecutive epic tricks on the Ellen show. We both were out there in the audience and got to do some cool stuff.
Yeah, we just happened to be in the audience that day.
We were just in. How crazy was that? We were in the audience and she was looking for people with talents, and
and they had ping pong balls back there and torches.
And fire and a ball. Just instantly
wild.
Ready. It's great. That's what happens when you work with professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Besides people like you said, Brody Smith and the Dude Perfect people, and like you've worked with the Legendary Shots crew. Who else inspires you, whether they're jugglers or just people?
That's a good question. I mean, Ivan Pacell has always been an inspiration for me. He's always been kind of a mentor for the industry since I was in high school. He kind of took me under his wing and helped me get some of my first gigs. And so he just like hustles. Like he works really hard and really understands the business side of it, and has kind of taught me a lot. So he's always been one. And like the Passing Zone is something that I would love to get to at some point. Like they are kind of the ultimate juggling show. And so they've always been something that's like, wow, when I'm their age, I hope I'm doing something close to that, because that would be amazing. I mean, they're you know, I think probably like the most sought after juggling act in the corporate world, and they're just killing it. And the show is so good. So that for on the performing end, it's probably them for jugglers in particular. And yeah, for social media, like I do the two you mentioned. Obviously, I'm really big into trick shots right now. So Brody Smith and Dude Perfect are kind of the dream on that side of things. Because I feel like they both do a good job of incorporating their skill with their personalities, and they all have pretty strong personalities. And I don't think you can have just one. I think that's not true. On YouTube, you can just have a strong personality. Obviously, there's tons of bloggers, but for people, you know, I think people can only watch cool juggling or even cool trick shots so much. You know, there's only so much they can do. But if you can find a way to incorporate your personality and be funny or whatever, it's going to make it more interesting, and people are going to be more likely to follow you.
Yeah, I was kind of leading into this as well, and that follows in quite nicely with the personality kind of being equally, or maybe not equally, but at some level, the personality plus the tricks is important. And I was thinking about this, and I think you, when we were in LA, you said something about torches not lighting or something.
Yeah.
What happens, and a good performer is able to kind of play that off and maybe be kicking themselves later, but the audience might not even know that anything went wrong. Have you had any stories of being in front of a lot of people or in front of an audience and something doesn't go how you planned?
Yeah, well, on the story you just mentioned, the audience 100% knew something went wrong. There was no way of hiding that one. So, and what sucks was it wasn't a talking show. I was doing like a 6-minute school assembly, but like a huge school. So there was like a huge gym. So it was like 4,000 or 5,000 high schoolers in a gym. And I was like in the middle of pep rally, and I did like balls, rings, clubs. And then on the ground I did like bowling ball, machete, hatchet. And then my last thing was going to be torches on a rollabola. And get on the rollabola, have my torches in one hand, lighter in the other. You know, they all freak out because they see the lighter, and you can just like hear everyone erupting. And like, I flew to the show, and you know, you can't play out the lighter fluid. And like, the closest grocery store was like a Whole Foods or something, so it was like not the fluid I was used to using. And so I think it was like super green, biodegradable, whatever. And whatever it was, it just didn't light. And these torches wouldn't light. And I'd tested them before, and I don't know if I just, you know, that maybe it evaporated quickly or something. These torches just didn't light. And it was awkward. And so then I hopped off, and then I just did the rollabola with the bowling ball, hatchet, and machete, which I had already juggled. So that was a bummer. I've also had it where, you know, at the beginning of my halftime show, I'm juggling 3 basketballs, and I throw one high, and then I tear my pants off. And one time my pants just like didn't tear off. And so then I like dropped the ball, and I had to struggle to take my pants off afterwards. So it's like the very, you know, it's the first 5 seconds of my routine. So that was a bad way to start off. But besides those, I feel like I've had a pretty easy so far.
But you, you know, you're able to always, like, even the school thing, I think, with the fire, at the end of the day, people were like, oh, that guy was awesome.
So yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get at. That, you know, when things go wrong, you can be like, wow, that was the worst thing that could have happened. But then the audience, like, goes away, like, yeah, he was juggling bowling balls and knives and hatchets, and it was crazy. And, you know, so.
Well, it's always easier. Like, I end up doing a lot more of the 5-minute things or 6-minute things for corporate events or the halftime shows, but it's so much nicer when you can talk, because then it's much easier to cover any of that stuff up.
Yeah.
Cause you can laugh about it. But when it's like, you have your however many seconds total, like, it sucks to mess up. I got one other recent one was what I was doing a long, like a 35-minute show, and it was a cool theater, and I'd never done this before, but I was able to do my music on my own from my iPod wirelessly, just through Bluetooth for the whole theater, which was cool. And there was a little receiver this big. I guess people on the podcast can't see. About the size of a quarter. Like, it was super small. Was the receiver in the front center of the stage. I dropped one club. One dropped the entire performance. And that dropped club, the handle landed perfectly on this receiver. I broke their receiver and didn't have music for the rest of my show. So that was a bummer. But, you know, you get through it.
Yeah, that's funny. Just it's like juggling clubs seem to be magnetic towards things that are easily breakable, and no matter how far away they are, just drop things and break things all the time. So what do you? This might be a weird question, but I'd like to hear what your thoughts are on it. Being someone that's involved with both live theater performances and theater as in people come watch you live.
Yeah.
And also through the screen, through YouTube, you know, Vine, Instagram, etc. Do you have any thoughts on how this new world of a lot of people finding all of their entertainment through the palm of their hand is affecting the live interaction when you go on stage and people have to watch you on stage?
That's another good question. I think if you're captivating enough of a performer, people aren't going to be like, oh, well, I saw that on YouTube. Like, they'll still enjoy themselves and they'll still laugh. But what I have noticed lately, like, depending on the type of show I'm doing, people are so obsessed with their own personal social media that they're much more likely to be focused on Snapchatting you or filming a video so they can post it to Instagram or whatever, that they're holding their phone and looking at you through a little screen instead of actually enjoying the show, laughing, clapping, cheering, whatever. So that's kind of the biggest thing I've noticed. You know, it's hard to tell for bigger venues, but sometimes when it's a smaller show, I'm like, why is no one clapping? And I look out and I see like 50 phones. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that feedback, because you're used to like, oh, if people are enjoying this, I'm going to hear them clapping or something. But now it's getting to the point where it's like, if people are really enjoying it, you might get the opposite reaction because they're, like you said, staring at their phone.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm trying to figure that out as well. That
one thing I love doing after shows, especially when it's like the big stadium shows for NBA or college halftime show, I just always search juggler or halftime juggler or basketball juggler or whatever, and I see what people are tweeting about me, and sometimes there'll be like 50 tweets, which is, you know, a small percent of the 8,000 people are in the crowd, but it's crazy to see that many tweets about yourself, and usually they're positive, but it's also sometimes good for feedback or funny to find the negative ones.
Yeah.
As well as like the cat calls and stuff.
yeah, that's there's some funny stuff. I used to go, I don't know if it's still a thing, but college campuses like a year ago used to use
Yip Yak.
Yeah,
nailed it.
And I used to go on there and stir people up. I don't know if it's still a thing. I don't know if anyone still cares about it anymore. So I used to go on, like, when I'd get to campus, because that would, for people that don't know what it is, it goes for like a mile and a half radius or something. So it's like Twitter, but it uses your GPS and you can only see what people are posting within your radius. So it was huge on college campuses and maybe still is. I'm out of the loop at this point. But I used to go on and be like, I'd be like, what's up with this juggling show tonight? Is anyone going? Or I would kind of like get people talking about it, and they would just be like, people would be like, gay! You know? I loved it. It was so funny because people would just be like, just nonstop kind of bashing my show before they ever saw it. And it was fun.
Of course.
We'll do a couple more here. What's your ultimate goal? You kind of mentioned the passing zone as being, and again, people that aren't jugglers probably don't know who the passing zone are. They're a juggling duo that have been doing it for probably, I don't know, 30 years,
Might be a little high, but something like that, yeah.
At least 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll say that. At least 20 years they've been just dominating the kind of theaters and mostly like corporate events, and it's awesome. So what's your ultimate goal or dream? Like, if you could create your optimal world to live in, what would it look like?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, it would be a combination of doing a little bit of everything, and that's what I've always liked most about juggling for the most part. Like, I have never wanted to be like a cruise ship guy, and I know I've kind of become the halftime show guy, but I do a lot of other stuff too. Like, people kind of pigeonhole me in that sometimes, like other performers, but I do a good amount of corporate events and private whatever. So what I like about this industry is that one day it is a halftime show, the next day it's a corporate event, the following day it's a commercial shoot, the next day it's a video collaboration with someone else. And so every day is different, and so I hope to continue that. I don't want to get to where I only depend on one market just in case something dries up. And so I think sports is going to be a big thing for me for many years to come. So I'm going to keep focusing on sports, but then I also want to eventually get to where I'm delivering a hour long awesome show like The Passing Zone or whatever. And I would love to get more in the corporate market and deliver a corporate message or a motivational type of message. And I think I've already been, you know, thinking through some of that already. And, you know, it's kind of funny because, like, the one thing I would always want to talk about is, like, quitting your job to follow your passion, but no one's going to book you for a corporate event for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's kind of what I did. But for some motivational speaking, something like that, I could, you know, obviously work some of that in. But then I think it's also just, like, you know, finding that right message that you can kind of adapt and personalize very easily to a lot of different topics, depending on what they want.
What do you have for a message that for people that are coming up, whether they're trick shot kids that you talked about earlier, or upcoming jugglers, or just, you know, that kind of corporate audience that you might be presenting to? What's your overall message to take home for them to think about?
Sure. So one of my biggest pet peeves right now is a lot of performers or people on social media or whatever, depending on what it is, they'll say, wow, you're so lucky to be doing this stuff. And that's kind of like a pet peeve because I put so much work into it. Like, I've had professional jugglers say, wow, you're so lucky to be doing all these halftime shows. It's like, wait, I practiced a lot to get to be very good at juggling. And then I chose a market. I created a custom act for that market. And then I spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours emailing, making phone calls, and putting in tons of work to book these things. Is it lucky that these people, like, choose my email out of the 50 emails I got that day? Maybe, but that's kind of the only luck that came through. And so I think that applies to a lot of different things. And or the Ellen thing we did. So people, you know, a few people told me, wow, you're so lucky on Ellen. Yeah. I created that ping pong YouTube video with the hopes of it going viral. So I came up with a unique idea. You know, trick shots were a thing, but and ping pong trick shots were even a thing, but not out of your mouth. And I knew that would be something that people would share. It didn't end up going that viral. It's at like 9,000 views or something. But so I came up with an idea. I didn't just think of it. I actually filmed it. Took a lot, you know, a couple hours to film the video, and didn't go viral. And so then I got on Ellen's website and I emailed it to them. Like, people, like, again, like, is there some luck that you know, they found my email? Yeah, but that's the only luck there is. You know, it was a lot of me being aggressive. And so I think if you want to be successful in whatever you're doing, like, you can't just, like, sit around and complain that things aren't working out. Like, you gotta make it happen.
Yeah, that's great. Make it happen. And that's one of my favorite things just in general. So many people that I talk to is the cliche thing of the overnight success happens after you put, you know, 10 years of work into it's very hard work into it. And then people see that the thing. Oh, wow, cool. That's again, you're so lucky you got that.
Right.
So I think that's great. And probably cut this out as well, but it's like I was sending Ellen videos for the past 5 years. Mm. And people are like, oh, that's cool you got on. I was like, yeah, but it's
about time.
I didn't just, you know, sit around and wait for it.
Right.
Where can people find you if they want to look you up on social media?
Yeah, so on everything besides Facebook, I'm Juggling Josh. No last G on Juggling because I'm cool like that when I was in ninth grade or something. And it stuck and I hate it. So Juggling Josh. And then on Facebook, it is Josh Horton hyphen juggler.
Cool. So again, look that up. And there's some really good stuff there. I especially like your Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram is...
You can see some quick little shots, and then you can always link over to the videos to see the longer form videos if you want longer stuff. So hopefully, if you guys are into that, check that out. Thank you all for listening. That is the show. Thank you to Josh for taking some time out and chatting about what he's up to. Thank you to you, especially, for taking time out of your day to listen to us. And I hope that you got something very important and valuable out of listening to us and this conversation. Now, put down your phone, get off the computer, go outside, or make something, or do something, or stop listening to podcasts. Keep listening to my podcast, but just go do something, all right? Just make something. The world is waiting for what you and only you can make or do or offer or write or draw or juggle or trick shot or whatever you do. So just go, make it happen, stop waiting. If you wait today, you're going to do the same thing tomorrow. So start today, make things happen. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.